Sounds like a good prayer for all of us. Nearer my God to thee. Can't get too close either. Acts chapter 17. Verse 1. Acts 17, 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down, I'll come hither also." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your holy word. We thank you for all your blessings and the freedom we have to read your word and to preach it. And I just pray that you would bless your word tonight. Speak to our hearts and give me the right words, Lord, that you might be exalted and we might be challenged and revived and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." I don't know about you, but that makes me happy.
Amen.
I love to see the world turned upside down. I love to hear that the world gets just really messed up when the gospel is preached. I love to hear what the gospel does to people's souls and to people's lives and their families. It just gives me great joy to see the world being turned upside down. And as I think of this, you just have to look back in the book of Acts and you'll find out how it happened. Again, it wasn't an accident that the world was turned upside down at the time of these apostles. Several things that we can find in the book of Acts. Beginning in chapter 1, it says that they were all in one accord. They were undivided. You know, if you want to turn the world upside down, you need to be undivided. This church needs to be in unity. We need to have one mind, striving together for the faith, the gospel. We need to put away our petty differences and our little petty faults and things that we pick about and things that we disagree on. We need to get on the same page and be in unity, undivided, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what they did. They were undivided. You know, and also we find that they unceasingly preached Christ and the resurrection. In chapter 5, verse 42... Chapter 5, verse 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You couldn't stop them. You couldn't shut them up. They didn't just do it once in a while. They didn't just do it when it was fun. They didn't just do it when it was popular. They unceasingly preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And they preached the resurrection. So again, that's the way that they turned the world upside down. In chapter 4, not only were they unceasing, but they were unapologetic. They unapologetically preached in the name of Jesus. Now, that's not really popular today. That's not a real popular thing today among lots of different groups. They just kind of try to make it sound less offensive, less exclusive. They want to make it so inclusive and to make it the gospel so watered down. But you know what? The apostles, they didn't do that. They said here in chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You want to change the world? You want to turn the world upside down? Just get out there and preach in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't apologize for being a believer in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the only name above all names. It is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name, no other mediator. So be unapologetic about preaching in the name of Jesus. In the same chapter in verse 17, look what you find here. But let us spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, or nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they were unfazed by threats. They were threatened. You better stop doing that. You better shut up. You better stop the preaching. You better preach in some other name. You better not mention His name again. And they said, you do what you want. We can't stop. We cannot but speak it. You're not going to shut us up. They were unfazed by threats. You couldn't shut them down by threatening them. You couldn't even shut them down by persecution. In chapter 5 and verse 40, says unto him, they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And they ceased not. They were undeterred by persecution. You couldn't stop them by beating them. You couldn't stop them by putting them in prison. You couldn't stop them by even putting a ban and saying, you have no permission to preach in this name. And they just kept on preaching. And that's how they turned the world upside down. And that's the problem today, is that too many times we have no influence on the world because we're not following the example of the apostles. We're divided. We fight about silly things. Instead of concentrating on what's important, we get sidetracked on other things that are not important. We're afraid to preach. We're afraid to suffer shame for His name. God help us. They were unconcerned about their own rights. You know, you think about what happened with Stephen in chapter 7. Look at what happened in chapter 7. The story is well known in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And we find in the next chapter they go out and bury him. But I don't read anything about any kind of a lawsuit. They weren't worried about their rights. They weren't worried about defending their honor. They weren't worried about making sure that they got their money out of the courts, or they made a lawsuit and made $1 million off of this wrongful death. No, they weren't concerned about their rights. They were concerned about changing the world, turning it upside down. Too many times we're worried about our rights. We're worried about what's right. We're worried about getting what's due for us, making sure that we get fair treatment, making sure that now we're Americans, we got to be treated right. Hey, you better be careful. You can get sidetracked by getting worried about what's right and about what is your due. And you need to be out there just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not being so concerned that the world treats you right. This world is not going to treat you right. You mark it down. They don't care about what's right. They don't care about morality or righteousness or the name of Jesus or souls or heaven or hell. They don't care. So don't expect the world to do you a favor. They were unconcerned about their right. But you know what? There's something else in this verse that strikes me. Back in our text in Acts 17, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. The question I have is, are you actively trying to turn the world upside down? Are you actively trying to make a difference in the way this world thinks? Now, you can't change the world, but you can sure turn it upside down. You can sure make some headway in some people's lives. Because if you're not trying to turn the world upside down, you mark it down, it will turn you upside down. The world will turn you upside down. That is what the world is trying to do day after day. It is trying to change the attempt of the church to preach the gospel, trying to get pressure on the church to preach a watered down gospel, trying to get the church all messed up in the world, trying to get the church worried about things, worried about money, worried about what things look like, worried about appearances, worried about philosophy, worried about psychology, worried about all the stuff in the world, and that is not the mission of the church. And you're not trying to actively turn the world upside down, it's going to turn you upside down. So the question is the world turning you upside down? You find yourself being too easily influenced by the world, being too easily changed, being too easily molded, being too easily transformed by the world instead of by the renewing of your mind. Look in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Maybe you think you're immune. Maybe Demas thought the same thing. I don't know. 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, I don't know a whole lot about Demas. All I know is that he loved the world. And he forsook Paul. He turned his back on the work of the gospel because he loved the world. Let me tell you something. If you start loving the world, it's going to turn you upside down. If you start loving the things that this world has, you start finding yourself being attracted to the world, attracted to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You find yourself being attracted to all the glitter and all the gold and all the beautiful things this world has to offer. It will turn you upside down, and before you know it, you won't know what's going on. You have lost your passion. You have lost your love for God. You lost your love for His Word. You start loving the world, that's what will happen. You start getting attracted to it. You start getting distracted by the world. You start letting the world distract you from what's important and getting your eyes on things that are just passing. It's going to mess you up. Demas probably didn't think that either. You may not think it's a danger. It's a danger for every single one of us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You better watch out. This world is a lot stronger pull than you think it does. You start messing with it, you start going down that path, and before you know it, it's like quicksand, and you can't get out of it. And you think, oh, I can get out of it easily, no problem. You think that. It's not so easy. You enjoy the world's company. You find yourself enjoying the world's crowd more than God's crowd. You find yourself enjoying being with the people of the world more often than with the church of God. Something is wrong. You're starting to love the world, and it's going to mess you up. You better be careful. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It doesn't say he loved it too much. That's what I thought at first. No, he just loved it. He loved the world. Something tells me, we shouldn't be loving the world. Something tells me it's not a matter of degree. It's a matter of not loving the world. He loved this present world, and you start loving the world, let me tell you, there's a big danger of forsaking God Himself, forsaking the work of the Lord, forsaking God's Word, forsaking the church, forsaking prayer, forsaking God's people. He loved the world. Another problem, another danger, or another reason why you may be being turned upside down by the world is in Proverbs chapter 1. Think about this one. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what happens sometimes? You don't have the guts to say no. You don't have the guts to resist the world. The world dangles in front of your eyes something nice, something attractive, something good, and you don't have the guts. You know it's not right. You know it shouldn't be done, but you have no guts to say, that's not for me. You're too weak. You give in. You say yes instead of no. You say, oh, a little bit won't hurt. Just a little bit. No, just take one drink. It's just one drink. Yeah. Just one drink. How many times has that turned into two and three and four? How many times has that turned into a life of drunkenness, a life of alcoholism? You think you can play with the world? You think that you can just say yes at first and then no later? Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to say no at first. And to say yes and then say no. The world says, listen to my joke. Listen to this story. And you don't have enough guts to say, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't want to hear that filth. That's a bunch of garbage. I don't want to hear it. You have enough guts to say no? If you don't, the world will turn you upside down. The world has all kinds of ways it tries to entice you, to miss church, to not read your Bible, to not pray, not preach the gospel, all kinds of ways. And too many times, those attractions, those temptations are just too strong. Oh, you know, it's a free, I got free Spurs tickets Sunday night. Who cares? It's free, right? I can't say no to free Spurs tickets. Really? That important to you? How about just saying no? How about just saying no to the temptations that the world gives you? How about a good movie? Oh yeah. Can't miss out on a good movie on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Not to mention that it's probably full of garbage anyway. Oh, but it's a good movie. It's a funny one. Yeah. Yeah, I get through all the garbage to get one or two good jokes. I don't think that's worth it. Yeah, I sit through a bunch of filth. Yeah, I sit through a bunch of fornication and idolatry and adultery. I sit through a bunch of filthy talking and immorality that does nothing but fill your mind with garbage and your kid's mind with garbage. What for? For some fun entertainment. I don't think it's worth it. The world will swallow you up. It will turn you upside down if you don't learn to say no to the world. Don't tell me you got it under control. A few years ago, my sister decided the world had a lot more to offer. She was raised, right? She was raised to fear God, raised to say no. She decided that alcohol was pretty cool. And so she started drinking. She lived out in California all by herself with her husband. No family to influence her, quit going to church. 10 years later, full-blown alcoholic. 10 years later, I saw a picture of her. I would not have recognized her had I not known it was my sister. Just one drink? She couldn't say no to the first one. Couldn't say no to the second one. Before you know it, she couldn't say no to anything. You're telling me that you can mess with the world and play with it and this horse around and walk away whenever you want? Let me tell you something. It's a lot stronger than you think it is. It will eat you up and spit you out, and they won't shed one tear over you. They don't care about you. They don't care about your family. The devil don't care about your integrity. He doesn't care about your health. The devil doesn't care about anything except seeing you lost and destroyed and your whole family wrecked because of it. It will turn you upside down. The world will turn you upside down if you are just a people pleaser. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts. Are you a people pleaser? You a politician? You just like to have all the friends. You don't want to have any enemies. You want everybody to like you. And therefore, you'll go along with whatever the world says. You'll go along with whatever the world offers you because you want everybody to like you. You want to please men? You try doing that, once again, the world will turn you upside down. You'll get messed up so fast. You'll have no mind of your own. You'll have no principles of your own. The only principle you'll have is whatever makes everybody else happy. Go along with the crowd just to make everybody happy. I don't want to stick out. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be strange. It's going to mess you up. You don't want your friends think that you're maybe a little bit too holy, right? You don't want anybody to think that you're just a little bit too moral, too clean. What's wrong with being clean? What's wrong with being holy? What's wrong with living a holy life? What's wrong with having a clear conscience? What's wrong with having being sober all the time? What's wrong with having no regrets? What's wrong with having no hangovers? What's wrong with that? And anybody that laughs at that, they can have all the hangovers. They can have all the sorrow. They can have all the regrets. I want no part of that. Amen. Or maybe you just think you have liberty. Oh yeah, I got freedom. Galatians in chapter 2. Everybody knows this verse. Galatians chapter 2. And that because of, verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Oh, and you think that God gave us liberty, and we can do whatever we want to do now. We're not under the law, right? We're not legalists. That means we can do whatever we want to do. We can watch anything we want to watch. Read we want to read. Go we want to go. Drink we want to drink. Smoke we want to smoke. That's not Christian liberty, my friend. God never said a thing about that. But you use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You use the liberty to feel free and say, you can't condemn me. I'm under grace. I'm in Christ. I have the freedom. You don't have the freedom to do wrong.
Amen.
You don't have freedom to sin against God. You don't have the freedom to destroy your family. You don't have the freedom to destroy your testimony or destroy the testimony of this church. You don't have the freedom. It's an excuse. And you use that excuse of liberty to live like you want to live. Don't be surprised. You wake up one day and the world has turned you upside down and you don't even resemble a Bible believer anymore. You tell me it can't happen? Let me tell you, if you haven't been around here very long, trust me, it can happen. It's happened many times. There are people that you sit in them chairs right there that love God, serve God, preach the gospel, and now they're not doing it. Now the world has swallowed them up. They got messed up by the world because they didn't pay attention. You might be in this situation because you actually began to buy into the world's philosophy. I hope not. But it does happen. Christians all over the world are buying into the world's philosophy. Sometimes people just get tired of fighting. I see it all the time. People get tired of struggling. They get tired of the struggle against immorality. Tired of the struggle against sin. Tired of the struggle to preach the gospel as simple as it is. They get tired of being unpopular. They get tired of being called out and being mocked and being laughed at. And they start buying into the world's philosophy and say, oh, let's just all love each other. Let's just love everything. Jesus, God is love, so let's just love everybody. We don't have to preach about hell. Let's just preach about love. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You might actually have started buying into the philosophy of this world. You know, this world today says, why wait for marriage? You love the guy, just sleep with him. You love the girl, just shack up with her. Why wait for marriage? What's a piece of paper? That's how the world thinks. And I'm afraid too many Christians are being swayed by the world's mentality that it doesn't really matter. They think, who cares? What matters is that we love each other. What matters is that we care for each other. What matters is that we want to be together. Well, then get married.
Yeah,
and if you don't want to get married, then you better not touch her.
Amen.
The world says pleasure is the most important thing. What matters is pleasure, not morality. Not integrity, not what's clean and righteous and holy. What matters is pleasure. And no wonder we got so many dope addicts and drunks and fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals running around with no shame. Why? Because the bottom line is pleasure. And there's no shame anymore. The world says, every road leads to God. Just be religious. And it's incredible how many people buy into that. And if you stand up and say, Jesus is the only way, oh man, you are way, way out there. You are out of your mind. And they actually pretend that they believe the Bible. They actually say, yeah, the Bible is all for that. Open the Bible and find out. It's clear. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. Don't buy into the world's philosophy. You know, the world is not your friend.
That's right.
The world does not have your interests at heart.
That's right.
The world is not concerned about your well-being, your family's well-being. Oh, I know there's an element out there of do-gooders and religious people, and there's people out there that are really, you know, in our opinion, good. You know, good people, they just love to live a good life and they're trying to help people out. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Because this present world is a present evil world. And the only hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, how can you keep yourself being turned upside down by the world? 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world. I know it sounds too simple. Or it sounds too negative, maybe. Love not the world. Just don't do it. Just like it says, thou shalt not steal. Well, love not the world. Don't fall in love with the world. Don't try to please the world. Don't try to look like the world. Don't try to act like the world. Don't try to talk like the world. You're not of the world. Yeah, you're in it, but you're not of it. And you can use it, but you shouldn't be abusing it. So don't love it. How about loving God? Isn't He worth your love? Doesn't He deserve your devotion? Doesn't He deserve our time? Doesn't He deserve our worship? Doesn't He deserve our energy and our thoughts and our time and everything we have? Can you give God too much? Can you love Him too much? Can you be too much in love with God? Oh, I don't think so. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Like, verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, it seems to be pretty clear that we're not supposed to be infatuated with the world. We're not supposed to be attracted by the world. Oh, I know what happens. The world is attractive. The world has lots of attractions. But you better look beyond the attraction. You better look beyond. You know that story about beauty being only skin deep? Yeah, it's true. It's just skin deep. It's not what it's all cracked up to be. It looks glamorous. It looked glamorous to my sister too. Until I finally killed her. At the age of 47. 47. That's too young to die. That's too young to lose your life. That's too young to leave kids behind. That's too young to leave a husband behind. That's too young to destroy your life. Verse 17. And the world passeth away. Beauty is skin deep. Beyond all that, it is poised for destruction. It is ready for the fire. It is ready to be disintegrated. You better pay attention. You better wake up and see what the world really is. It's not what it looks like. It's all smoke and mirrors. It just looks nice, but it's not nice. It just looks attractive, but it's not. It's full of poison and destructive powers. You find yourself loving the world too much, you better just go to the altar. And you better put everything on the altar. You better confess to God that you're being too easily attracted by the world, too easily distracted by the world, finding yourself too comfortable in the world, and you better put it on the altar and say, God, I don't want this. This is not for me. This is not for my benefit. It's not going to help my family. It won't help my marriage. It won't help my church. I don't need this. Matthew chapter 6:24, what did Jesus say? He said, no man can serve two masters. You think you can do both? You think you can play church and play in the world too? You think you can love God on Sundays and love the world during the week? You think you can love the world at home and love God in church? You think you can play around? You can't serve two masters. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Quit being double-minded. Make up your mind. The world is not worth serving. It's a lousy taskmaster. The world is not your friend. It's not going to help you. It won't help your kids. It will destroy you in the end. You can't serve two masters. And by the way, you know what God thinks about the world? James, in chapter 4. And verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You think the world loves God? It looks like it, doesn't it? Especially at Christmas time. Wow. Jesus is so popular at Christmas time. The whole world loves Him. Don't bet on it. They don't love Him at all. In fact, they hate Him. They hate Jesus. They hate everything He stands for. They hate everything He said. They hate everything He did. Except feeding the hungry and helping the sick. But when He spoke against religious people, they hated Him. The world does not love God. The world hates God. Why would you love a world that hates God? Why would you love a world that put Him on a cross? Why would you have any time for the world that wants nothing to do with God in reality? It's all just for show. Just to impress somebody. Just to look religious. But down deep, this world, it is the enemy of God. And if you're a friend of the world, God says you're an enemy of God. Did you get that? I don't know that many of us really ever get that. That's some pretty strong words. You're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You get cozy with the world, you think the world's got something really, really cool for you, you think the world's philosophy makes sense, you're an enemy of God. You think the world has some things figured out about life and about morality and about how to build a home and you're going against God? You're His enemy. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. You can't be on the fence. You can't play both sides. You got to decide. It's either God or the world. It's either God's Word or the world's philosophy. It's either God's people or the world. That's all there is to it. What'll it be? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You want to keep the world from having influence over you? Reprove the works of darkness. Don't be afraid to speak out against wrong, against filthiness, against immorality, against unrighteousness, against adultery, against fornication, against drunkenness, against the wicked ways of this world, against the philosophy of this world. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what might turn our world upside down. You may not change the whole world. You can change your world. You can have an influence on somebody. You have people around you, and they're lost, and they think they have it all figured out, and they've been deceived by the world too. But you can have an influence on them and turn their world upside down and give them some hope. Reprove. Use a lot of God's Word to make manifest what's wrong. Back to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Some of you might be willing to give your life for the gospel. It's easy to say, isn't it? Can you make a living sacrifice now? Because you can't stand up for the gospel now. If you can't stand up for what's right now, if you can't make a living sacrifice, if you can't on a daily basis stand up for what's right, I seriously doubt you'll be able to give your life as a sacrifice for the gospel's sake. You ought to be giving your life a living sacrifice every day, wherever you are. You ought to be willing to stand up for what's right, stand up for God, stand up for the Bible, stand up for holiness and morality every day. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Open God's Word and let God's Word transform your mind. Change your thinking. Change the way you look at things. Change the way you judge things. Change the way you react to things. Change the way you judge God. Change the way you look at man. Change the way you look at eternity. Be transformed. And quit letting the world dictate how you think. Quit letting the world dictate how you feel. Quit letting the world dictate how you spend your time, what's important. Quit letting the world dictate what's pleasurable, what's nice and what's pleasant. Quit letting the world tell you what you ought to be doing. Be transformed. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Amen. Amen. Called unto liberty. Amen. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't use liberty as an excuse, in other words. Don't use it as an excuse to do what you want to do. You've been called to liberty. You know what that means? You have the liberty to let God control your life. Before you got saved, you were under the influence of the devil and the world. Now, if you're saved, you have liberty in Christ. You have the liberty to do right. You have the liberty to overcome sin and temptation and freedom to do right and to love one another and to love the lost of this world, but not to love the world. Don't use your liberty as an occasion as an excuse to live in your flesh and serve yourself. That's not liberty. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This tells me that you have no excuse. You don't have to give in to the world. Don't tell me you're weak. Because the Bible says that by the cross you're crucified to the world. You just need to believe it to be so. You just need to recognize that in Christ you have victory over the world. Didn't Jesus say, I have overcome the world? He didn't say, I will overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world. I already did. Amen. It says there in Peter, it says that all things that we need for, let's go over and read it. I might not quote it right. We're going to read in 2 Peter. I can find it. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What do you need for life and godliness? Whatever you need, it's been given you. If you're saved, you've got it. Now, if you're not saved, that's a different story. But if you're saved tonight, everything you need to overcome sin and temptation and live godly and live a life of holiness has been given you in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have God's Word. You have God's promises. You have God's faithfulness. You have Christ's power. You have everything you need. The world has been crucified unto you, and you unto the world. Problem is, we don't always believe it. Or we don't always want it to be so. We like going back to the world. We like the attraction of the world. We like the glamour of the world. We enjoy the pleasure of the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that make a difference in our lives? Wouldn't that make a difference in our testimony? Wouldn't that make a difference in our church? Wouldn't that make a difference in our family? If we only gloried in Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us. We find ourselves glorying in so many things and so little glorying in Jesus. We get excited about the silliest things. And we don't get excited about Jesus very much anymore. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross Jesus said it would take up our cross. Not my will, but thine. That's the secret. Not my will. Oh, I know what I want. What I want is not what God wants. What I want is the world. What I want is the things the world has. And I'm supposed to glory in the cross. I'm supposed to take up the cross and ask God what His will is and live in His will. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, the world preaches peace, but there is no peace. They say peace, peace, but they don't know peace. The way of peace they have not known. They want nothing to do with peace. What they want is freedom to do what they want to do. What they want is freedom from God's laws. They want freedom to do what they want to do. The only peace you'll ever find is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only peace your family will ever have is in Jesus Christ. If you get yourself messed up in the world, you won't have peace. You'll have tribulation. In Christ, you'll have peace. And you say, "Oh, but I have tribulation now. I'm living for God now, but I got troubles. I got enemies. I got sorrows. I got sicknesses. I got problems." Well, that is what He said. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. You can't expect the world to love our Jesus. And so when you live for Jesus, they're not going to bless you for it. You might find a person or two that thinks you're just really godly, but the world doesn't think that way. The world is against you for loving Jesus. It's against His name, against His word, against His promises, against His coming judgment. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. You'll have sorrows. You'll have persecution. And they'll tell you to shut up. And they'll tell you you're crazy. And they'll tell you you're just a Puritan. And they'll tell you you're just too righteous. You're just too holy. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Don't expect the world to bow down to you. Don't expect the world to just sing your praises because you're trying to live godly. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. It's not over yet. The world doesn't make the final decision. The world is not the final judge. Let the world speak. Let the world mock. Let the world talk. Let the world condemn. Let the world laugh. In the end, God will be the one who laughs last. Be of good cheer. It's not over yet. Be of good cheer. God is in control. He watches everything. He's taking good notes. He's a good bookkeeper. He's a good accountant. Don't worry about it. He's marking it all down. And there's nothing that you suffer that He doesn't know about. There's nothing you go through that gets by Him. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Jesus Christ has overcome the world. All right now, it doesn't look that way. But It didn't look that way when he hung on the cross either. When he hung on the cross, it looked like it was all over. It seems to me that even the disciples thought it was all over. It wasn't all over. It was just beginning. And for 3 days and three nights, they thought it was finished. They thought their idea of utopia had come to a abrupt halt. Oh, but 3 days later, up from the grave He arose. And He overcame the world. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame the devil. He overcame the whole world. And one day, He'll come back, set it all straight. And you're going to waste the last few years you've got and miss out on that. You're going to trade all the glory of the coming kingdom, the coming day when Christ comes and just obliterates the entire wicked world. You're going to miss all that? You want to mess with the world? Don't let the world turn you upside down. He's already overcome it. You know which side to be on. You know who's on the winning side. Get on the winning side. Why do you want to choose a loser? Choose the winner. Choose Jesus Christ and His Word. Choose Jesus Christ and His people. Choose the fear of God, not the fear of man. And if you don't, the world will turn you upside down. And in the end, you'll have regret, sorrow, and you'll say, "Oh, how foolish was I." It's not worth it. There's nothing the world has ever given you that God didn't give you better. The world gave you nothing but sorrow and problems. Oh, a little bit of joy, short-lasting. God has so much more to give you, so much more to do for you if you just choose God and not the world. Amen. Galatians chapter 1. Just in case somebody here tonight is not saved, I don't know your heart. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. He's not going to die. You're going to have to deal with Him one day. You can explain Him away all you want. You can think it's not important. You can think it's just another religious nut. You can think it's just not another religious teacher. He's a whole lot more than a religious teacher. Unto Him be glory forever and ever. He's not going away. He's here to stay. He rose again and He's coming back again. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, you'll meet Him one day as your judge. And you will be sorry. But today you can meet Him. Today you can accept Him. Today you can know Him and trust Him as your Savior and receive His forgiveness, because He gave Himself for you to deliver you from this present evil world. Don't waste the opportunity that God has given you to call upon His Son and be saved. And if you're saved, don't waste another day of your life living for the world. Don't waste another breath of your life pleasing, loving, caring about the world. Try to change the world. Try to change your world. Try to make an influence in somebody's life that doesn't know God. God, You've been so good to us. We're so unworthy. You loved us when we were without hope. You gave us life. You gave us peace. You gave us Your Holy Spirit. You gave us victory. You gave us something worth living for. Forgive us, Father, for being so easily distracted. For letting the world have such a hold on our hearts. Turn us, Lord, to Yourself. Have mercy on us, Lord, in Jesus' name.